we're going to start the Gemara, and what I would like to do in doing the Gemara first, before we even touch the Rishonim, is to read the Gemara really carefully. I know that sounds a little silly, because you'd rather prefer not to read the Gemara carefully. But actually, in order to properly grasp a lot of the Shaka Vitaria going on, you have to read very, very carefully, this sugya in particular, especially when there's more between the lines than there is in the lines themselves. Okay? So starting on Mem Aleph Amid Aleph. Start with Amar Ula de Machlokas. Who would like to read? Yoni? You're up.
Amar Ula Machlokas Bishabarakot Shabbat.
Finish the sentence and then finish the first half. The Rabbi Yehuda.
Rabbi Yehuda Savar means Shiva. The Rabban Savar means Chavivad. About the She'en Rechosayim Shavos, Ibra Kol Mevarach Alzav, the Chozur Mevarach Alzav.
Okay, now this seemingly innocuous statement is a loaded statement. There are a lot of assumptions and assertions being made in this statement. So let's start with the following. Immediately on the surface, forgetting about Ula's specific Ukimta, he has engaged in an interpretation of a certain line in the Mishnah, which is not necessarily compelling. Ari? No. There's something more question of the interpretation of certain words in the Mishnah. What do the Chachamim say in the Mishnah? Al Eiza Sheyirtze. Okay, Eiza Sheyirtze means what? Whichever you want. In other words, halacha has no predisposition. There's no halachic predisposition to which one. You want to make it on this, you make it on this. You want to make it on that, you make it on that. No problem. Yes?
I know that we're trying to accept the difference, but, they could also be the same.
Obviously, Ula is interpreting that... let's say it this way. If they're different, Yoni, what's the difference between Eizah Sheyirtze and Chaviv? Wouldn't you say that that's tautological? Eizah Sheyirtze is a Chaviv. So what would the difference be?
If they were different, I would say Chaviv would probably be what I would consider, quote unquote, my favorite food. And Eizah Sheyirtze is whatever, the one that comes at my fork, first, whatever one I decide that it's most unique to make a brach on at this particular second.
Okay, that is one way of formulating the difference. I want to allow for two other possibilities. That's not the one I would have picked, but as you were starting to say, it made me think of another one. So, okay, so your suggestion is Chaviv is the one that's really your favorite. Eizah Sheyirtze says one happens to be convenient for you at the moment, for whatever reason. Either by happenstance or it happens to be a reason why it's convenient now. Okay, another possibility, Al. Okay, so it could be that there's a notion of chaviv, universal chaviv. If you were to ask lots of people which is the best one, so they would say X. But Eizah Sheyirtze might be the one that you happen to like better. Okay, and there's a third possibility, which is the one that actually I think really appears in the Rishonim. That doesn't make it a better choice. It just makes the one that was suggested earlier. Chaim?
Monetary value.
Interesting. I mean, I guess you could make a fourth choice of that. But that seems to be, that would be a sort of, what's his monetary value?
Chaviv, yeah.
And what is Eizah Sheyirtze?
Whichever one he happens to like.
Okay, fine. Right.
But there's, you can run into a problem there because the one that costs more money might not be the one that you want.
Well, that could be his thing. What's that? But there is one that comes up in the Rishonim. I think the Rush maybe has it most clearly formulated. He doesn't go out of his way to point this out, but it just, you can see he's distinguishing between the two.
Well, I was thinking that maybe Eliezer Sheyirtze is the one, it's just simply the one he likes most, and Chaviv is this is the one which perhaps is Adif, it's a higher level of Bracha.
Why? Well, if it's not Shivas Aminim, why would it be Adif? In other words, how is Chaviv different than the one he likes?
Well, you could say that therefore it's Chaviv, because maybe that one's...
No, because Eizah Sheyirtze, therefore it's Chaviv. Ruben, do you have a suggestion or no? I'm sorry. Ari?
What I understood was that there was... But from the Lashon of the Mishnah, it's Yishmanei Min Shiva, if you mean two Min Shiva. Meaning, the Chaviv could say, what if they're equally Chaviv? let's say, whichever meaning.
No, explain that again. There is such a notion will come up in the Rishonim, this idea that maybe there's a situation where you don't have a chaviv, there's more than one chaviv, and then maybe everybody would agree in Shiva is adav, even the Chacham would agree. But again, just within the Mishnah, before we approach that possibility, okay? Again, you have Hayin Lefanim Minim Harbe. So Rabbi Yehuda says, "Im Yesh Behem Shiva Mavarach Alav." The Chachamim say, "Abarach Hashirta." So what's the difference between Yirtza and Chaviv? No, no, there could be two that are equally chavid, but there can only be one which he's rotze. But bottom line is, you know, I understand that, but when Ula says that the Chachamim, when they see, it's going the wrong way. When the Chachamim say, Eze mehem sheyirtze, when they say, Eze mehem sheyirtze, Ula says that means chaviv. Now, with what you're saying, that doesn't help you. In other words, if the Mishnah said Chaviv, and now we might have a question, what if there are two Chavivim, and then Ula said Ezem and Shiyirtse, I could say that Ula is sort of addressing the case that the Mishnah doesn't fully spell out. But in the reverse, when the Mishnah already says Ezem and Shiyirtse, what does Ula gain by calling it Chaviv? Okay, so I could just say that. I could say that by definition, Esem and Sheyirtze and Chaviv are the same thing, because if I want this one now, that's called Chaviv. I agree, but if they're different, I want to know. What is the fundamental difference between them? Nobody has still suggested the one that the Rishonim say. I don't think how frequently you eat it, but that which is usually Chaviv. In other words, you may have something, so Yoni starting direction, your favorite food, versus something that I happen to prefer now. In other words, I might like this more now, not for convenience, not because it's more practical, not because I happen to come by fork, but because now I'm more interested in this. But on 9 out of 10 days asked, if I'm given a choice between dates and grapes, I prefer dates. This particular day, I have a grape fetish, and therefore I want a grape. So the question is, so one is objectively for me, not objectively globally chaviv, and one of them is one of them is temporarily chaviv. So the difference between chaviv and Esa Shiyir is chaviv is the one that's birigilos, that normally is chaviv for me, but happens to be not today. Do I say that because that's my thing? I'm a date man, so therefore I want, that's called chaviv for me, and it overrides the fact that I want more grape now. That's, I really want a grape. Or do you say, Eisem et Sheyirtze, Michael?
It seems to me like kind of a reflexive version of whether or not dato batalito
the four possibilities, the difference between Eze Shiyirtz and Chaviv, assuming that Ula, the four got thrown out. I remember the one the Rush says is Chaviv is what is usually Chaviv to him. Eze Shiyirtz is what he happens to be Chaviv to him now. Right now, at this moment, chaviv could be that which is usually chaviv to him. Ezem and Shiyirtz could be something that's more convenient or practical or happenstance came up on his fork now, the way Yoni suggested. Or chaviv, the way Eyal suggested, chaviv could be objective and Ezem and Shiyirtz can be subjective. And the fourth was monetary. Okay? Chaviv would be the more valuable and Ezem and Shiyirtz would be his personal preference. Which, by the way, to some extent, is really like Eyal's in some sense, because the reason, not to step into economics here, but presumably the reason why it's more expensive is because there's greater, it's either greater demand or less supply. But, right. Mikhail?
Okay.
I'm not interested in being, again, we don't have to, I don't need to come up with 7 more possibilities. I don't want to go, but the point is there can be differences. How do you define the difference between Chaviv and Ezer Shiyirtze if they're not really the same? Moshe? I'm sorry, Michal, you were saying?
In terms of the... I kind of have to say the shot level of just the mission of the original statement of Ezer Shiyirtze, the way it was originally formulated, do you think that the shot is just they meant whichever one he wants and that all these fakirs are a little bit...
Yes, and that's what it says. Al Ezem and Shiyirtze. What else does it mean?
But I mean, talking about talked about whether he's Ezeman Shiurtse usually versus Ezeman Shiurtse now. He's
whichever
one he wants now.
Yes, I agree.
The point is that we'll use this language.
Yeah. And he's just asking, on the Mishnah itself, I would have read the Mishnah on my own. Ezeh Shiurtse means whatever I want now, for whatever the reason I want it now. The Lehuda thinks there's something special about Shivas Aminim, and you could argue on a very simple basis. The Bracha Doraisa that we have, or the Brachas Doraisa that we have, are based upon the Pesukim of Shivas Aminim. So you would have thought that Rabbi Yehuda says there's something special about Brachas Aminim, even if you happen to be in Manhattan, New York, it doesn't matter. Still, you know, you make a Bracha on the grapes first, because all Brachas ultimately stem from Eretz Chitos, Sora, and so on and so forth. Okay, where Nechachamim say, doesn't make a difference. Aleisim in Shiurtse. Ula comes along and says Chaviv. And Chaviv, unless you say, and I'm not inclined to accept that, that Chaviv means, of course it's Chaviv, because I want that now. Right? A little circular. So it sounds like Ula is really departing in some sense from the Mishnah. And it's worth talking about in a moment, but we'll come back to this a little bit as we talk about how we've used the Machlokas as to why. Why does he interpret Ezem Shiurtse as Chaviv? Why is he not content to call us to let the Mishnah spade be a spade? Why does he have to interpret it the way he does? All right, I'm sorry, Moshe, you and then Ari.
I was just wondering whether you could eliminate the objective of Chaviv from the analogy in the case of Marker Bar. I don't know if that's unique to that story, but the Chaviv versus Kera seems to imply.
I happen to agree. I suspect that the objective versus subjective plays no role here. I have not seen any of the Rishonim raise that issue, and it seems odd if to the extent that bracha is supposed to evoke some type of personal shevach, so something that a person considers ma'os, presumably he shouldn't make a bracha on. Now, that's an extreme case. Is obviously a person may want to make a bracha on the apple before the date, even though he doesn't consider the date ma'os, but I think al derech haklal, I would agree, it's probably not objective versus subjective, even without the back of our story. Ari?
It's possible to say that
Okay, but that's what Yoni said. And Yoni said, no, he gave two. Either you happen to come up with a fork, or some reason that you want to eat this one first now, even though you like the other one better. You know, it's sort of like my two children, I've noticed, have different strategies in terms of when, I don't know if they still hold to them now. But, you know, one, you know, some children will save the best things for last, right? You want to get the other stuff out of the way, and then you save the candy for last or whatever it is. The other one, you know, would you know, make sure you eat all the candy first, you know, you forget about it, and then if you have to eat the stuff later. Just different, you know.
That's much more than what comes onto your fork first.
I agree, but you only offer two possibilities. So I'm saying, what you're saying is the second side of what he offered.
Yes, it's
more than, you're right, it's more than happenstance. In other words, there is intent, and there's a reason why I want this first. Not just because, it could be coming up in your fork, it could be that I'm lazy, and I just don't want to have to get it off the fork and so on. And that's also, it's not a pre-thought-out reason, but it is a reason why I'd rather just eat this one now.
What I was saying was, in general, it was all-inclusive, meaning it was inclusive of what he's saying, and it was inclusive. It could be any reason.
It doesn't matter what you meant anymore. We've taken your text, and we're interpreting it now. No. Okay, so anyway, right, the poor Amo Ryan, that's what we're going to do to them now, right? Whatever they said now. Yes, I think it includes more than one possibility. So you may, and that may be a little more appealing and more logical. You might be more inclined to say if happenstance wouldn't be enough of a reason, but maybe it would. In other words, it's just really annoying to get it off the fork.
After all,
the easiest way to clean a fork is putting it in your mouth and eating the food off it and, doing a good job. That's the easiest way to get it off so you can go to the next thing.
Right, but if your dare strategy is that you want to adopt and save the best thing for last, according to Ula's interpretation of the mission,
correct, but it would also be true that it would be true also that if it accidentally came up on your fork, you'd also have to figure out another way of getting it off and go make the bracha on the other food. And whatever interpretation we choose of the distinction between chaviv and shiurtse, it sounds like ula, unless again, and I think find it difficult to say ula just meant chaviv. Well, yeah, the chaviv is because if you want it now, it's more chaviv. But if you don't take that approach, and I think you shouldn't take that approach, then ula is really going beyond what the simple reading of the Mishnah is.
In essence, what I was saying, the way I read, like, I forgot his name.
Mikhail?
Mikhail was saying that that in essence, the way you read the Mishnah is, Izamam Shiyirtzet, that means, it doesn't really matter. It just doesn't really matter. So if it comes up on your phone, whatever the reason is, you know, it just doesn't matter.
Right. But let me put it this way. I agree. I think that's the simple reading of the Mishnah. The only thing that would be said is, presumably, like to believe people have a reason for doing things. Right? So it's either the reason, in other words, why do you take up the date before you, why do you take up whatever it is before you did X? You either did it, you know, there was some reason that you did it, and why don't you want to change? There's presumably a reason. I mean, yes, I know people, well, I didn't hear what you said.
You met with people?
I was going to say, you're telling most people I'm mindless. Okay. Still, not when it comes to their food, though. So
when it comes to food, people become mindless.
No. When it comes to religion, they're mindless. Okay. When it comes to their food, they appreciate good taste. Okay.
And I know a thing about people and food.
Okay. Anyway,
but we already saw a different case where we said convenience is really the issue.
Yes, but bread. I understand. Not. Okay, but that there are many reasons. Asim and Shiyutza, I presume, I agree with you. The reason, the threshold of ratzon there, of desire for one thing, is a minimal threshold. It could be from the, you know, the mundane to the sublime or whatever it is. But you want this one now, whatever the reason is. I agree. So fine. Now, so Ula said what? So now, okay, so that was as far as Ula's interpretation, that one line in the Mishnah. Now, what did Ula say? Ula said that the Machlokas Rabbi Yehuda and the Chachamim is only when Birchoseihen Shavos, meaning, and obviously then you're dealing with one of two possible scenarios. What is the two possible scenarios? What bracha are we talking about? Hadama or Eitz. Why are we only talking about Hadama or Eitz? Because only Shiva Saminim can have Hadama. Only brachos and shiva samin adam eitz. It's not really true, though. You could also have mizonos in the mix. And you can have mizonos in the mix because you could have... This comes up in two ways. You could have... There are two kinds of things that might not be shiva saminim, but you make mizonos on. What are the two kinds of things? Rice is one. What's the other one?
Well, I could say millet.
I'll call it oriz v'dochan. What else? Well, that will fall into oriz v'dochan. What's the other thing that it's not shiva saminim, you make mizonos on? L'chulei Alma, not only according to the Amoraim who argue, even according to Rav and Shmuel. No. What do you make a mizonos on that's not Shiva Saminim, according not to even Rav and Shmuel?
That's Shiva Saminim. It's made out of flour.
Kusman. You forgot about Kusman. No, the Yushalmi and the Tosefta say, I know I advanced the notion in Shir that the Bavli may have a different Mahalach, but at least explicitly, the Yushalmi says that Kusman is not Shiva. Tosefta and Yushalmi say Kusman is not Shiva Saminim. That's why Pas Soren and Pas Kusman, you make a brach on the Pas Soren first, even though the Kusman is better than it. Okay?
Oh, quinoa made out of wheat? It's a different species.
What? Quinoa made out of wheat? That's a contradiction in terms. Quinoa is quinoa. It's
right,
a grain.
Right, so it's a different species.
I agree, but it's like Oriz V'dochan. It might be any cereal grain that Shalal Lib the Rav and Shmuel, you make mizonos on. That's
so
one category. The second is Kusman, that Nechulei Alma. Even Rav and Shmuel say, it's Chameshas Aminim, you make mizonos on it. So really, you could have even three possibilities. You could have an apple and a grape. You could have, how do you get Hadam Eyal? Klayos, right? You have chita, you know, roasted whole or something like that. And you have, you know, a radish. Okay. And then when I said, hadama.
Yeah, kosher
chita. According to Rav and Shmuel, you couldn't. Okay, very. Okay, let's not get hyperliteral. I thought you'd say better. You could. Come on, you could have said so much better. The Mishnah can't be talking about mizonos. Why? Give me a much better reason.
Because you always have to say mizonos first.
No.
The Mishnah doesn't hold by mizonos.
Yes, the Mishnah doesn't know. The Mishnah does not know. You know, does not know of a bracha of borim and mizonos. It doesn't exist in the Mishnah. All right. So the Mishnah cannot be talking mizonos, but for a different reason. Okay, fine. Right.
Anywhere in the Mishnah?
If you weren't here last semester, you don't have to realize that, okay? But if you were here, so you clap an extra alchet, okay? But yes.
Nowhere in Mishnayos does the bracha of Mizonos exist.
Nowhere in the Mishnayos does the bracha of Mizonos exist. Okay. Yes. Take the question mark, turn it into a period. Okay. Fine. Now, so we're talking about, let's say, how eights, to keep it simple, though. It's either eights, maybe ha'adama, okay? That's a question that has to be clarified. But, so he says that the machlokas is when we're talking about ha'eitz. Right. Yeah. Yeah, Kusman.
Okay,
it could be Kusman as well. Fine. So okay, but that goes back to that already is an explicit Tosefta. Right, that is explicit. Knock knock. It's an explicit Tosefta, but what does the Yerushalmi say about that Tosefta about Kusman and Tzaren? It says that's Rabbi Yehuda Shita. Okay, so Adarab, in fact, their assumption is that Hamotzi would be included in this, except for the Chachamim are not Makpid. They have to think about how that plays out. But the Yerushalmi says, Beferish on that on the Kusman and Sarim, that Yemavarech on the Sarim, the Yerushalmi says, the Rabbi Yehuda he. It says that in Yesh Beinem, Yimin Shiva, Allahu Mavarech. The Yerushalmi says that. What? No, it's very good.
The attributions in the
and that, of course, undermines, well, it doesn't undermine your point because you could have Shibola Shul, Kusman. Well, this undermines your whole question about the Minim Harbe. You could have Shibola Shul, Kusman, and so on, right? Okay, fine. Fine. So anyway, whichever bracha it's talking about for the moment. So he says that if the brachas are Shavos, you have a machlokas. Avol b'she'en b'chosein Shavos, everybody agrees, mevarech al zeh v'chosein mevarech al zeh. Now, what is implied in that last second statement? There potentially are at least two items of interest, and Rabbeinu Yonah spells this out very nicely, if we couldn't realize it on our own, but we should realize it on our own. There are two things that are included in that statement, potentially. Chozer divrei hakol, mevarech al zeh, v'chozer mevarech al zeh. In fact, I would say potentially there are three assumptions in that statement, if you want to put it that way. Eyal. You have come so far. I don't want to know the common approach from the Rishonim. I want three things that one could argue to walk away with. Whoa, where are you going? Who ever heard of these things? So 1 second. Firstly, let's spell them out for everybody, okay? Because nobody's going to read your mind, and not everybody has necessarily read or assimilated to us, okay? They say, Divrei Hakol b'she'en b'choseim shavos mevarech al zeh b'chosem mevarech al zeh. So I want to see three things that emerge from that statement. Okay, number one, take one.
If you have something that's
great for Adonis, okay, so on the assumption, there's an assumption there, but I'll accept it for the moment, that if you have two different meaning there, let's say ho'adama and ho'eitz, it does not matter. It does not matter which bracha you make first. You can make them in either order. You can make ha'etz, then ha'adama. You can make ha'adama, then ha'etz. Okay, Chaim?
Where does it say that it does not matter, though?
It says, mevarech hazeh, v'chozer mevarech hazeh.
Yeah, but it doesn't say anything about the order.
But it doesn't say anything about the order.
No, it's not saying that you
It doesn't. But it's not. What is it? If you wrote a statute like this and you walked into court, there was a driving statute like this, the judge would throw it out and defend your right because it's ambiguous. You don't leave the statement ambiguous. Chozer mevarech al zeh, v'chozer mevarech al zeh. When you have zeh and zeh, it's completely ambiguous. What does zeh and al zeh mean? Now you're proposing the possibility. Maybe chozer Mevarech hazeh v'chozer mevarech hazeh means what?
You make the bracha on the more
ha'etz first, which is really the what, probably the shivas aminim, and then you make a bracha on the adama. Now that would be problematic because
we're talking about when.
Forget the fact that it doesn't say that. Okay. It would then say that Rabbi actually the Chachamah modeth Rabbi Yehuda. Interestingly enough, we shouldn't point this out. Correct. It doesn't say which way it is granted. There is the grave ambiguity in the Gemara, but when it says mevarech al zeh, v'chozer or mevarech al zeh, the Rif, by the way, adds a line in there, but the Gemara doesn't say that line about ezeh min sheyirtzi yivarech. Okay, but that's certainly what it sounds like. It says you make a brach on this one, then you make a brach on that one. Which is this and which is that? I would say it doesn't matter. You'd say it doesn't say it doesn't matter. I would say it doesn't say that it does matter. Right? And it should have said that it does matter. Okay? So we have so far, number one, what we see from this, what Eyal said correctly, is that presumably when you have two different brachos, it doesn't matter which one you make first. Okay? Now, do you know anything that we have learned in the Gemara up until this point that would suggest that that is not true? That it does matter? The story of Bar Kappara. Now, all the way in here, I'm going to be COVID Rosh, part company with how the Rishonim all deal with this issue. And that is to say that I don't think that Bar Kapara plays any role whatsoever in this discussion, because firstly, who says that in Bar Kapara? The one who says that in Bar Kapara is the Stam of the Gemara's interpretation. It's not explicit in the story, and the Stam of the Gemara comes later than Ula's statement number one. And number two, sort of in line with that, the Gemara's interpretation of the story of Bar Kapara may be an outgrowth of our sugya. In other words, just because it comes earlier in Ketzan Mevarachim doesn't mean it was composed earlier. And therefore, in terms of a linear progression, you can't start with the assumption of Bar Kapara as a fixed point, as an axiom, and then proceed to our Gemara and say, well, and start to play with that. You have to read our Gemara with a blank slate. Bar Kapara and the interpretation of the Bar Kapara story may follow as an outgrowth of our sugya, that there's a notion of kedima between two different minim. But you can't, even I know, that's on Daf Lamed Tes or Lamed Ches, whatever it is, but that may come after Daf Mem Aleph, and certainly historically speaking, in terms of the layers, it does. So for the moment, let's pretend that we know of nothing from the Mishnah or from the Amoraim that has anything to do with Kedima on Brachos, except for one thing that maybe has something to do with Kedima on Brachos that we know from something earlier than Ula. Yeah, but you answer my question before you ask your question. And only maybe. It's Al Derech, maybe. We've been discussing this issue a lot, of Kedima, sort of Kedima in Brachos. It's not really Kedima in Brachos. No,
bread issues.
No, that's the same Bracha, Eyal. An issue of different Brachos and Minim, it's really not making two different Brachos, it's the Mishnah, the previous Mishnah, which is maybe making a Bracha on one, paters globally. In other words, a Bracha of Hadama might pater eight also. Now, that's not making two separate Brachos, but it's two Minim with separate Brachos. We don't know what the Mishnah was talking about. We know that the Maskana of Halacha and the Maskana of the Sugya, and that's one of the things they were coming to against, was to say that no, that the only time Hadamah potters an apple is when you make Hadamah on the apple, not when you make Hadamah on the banana and there's an apple there too. But the only thing that maybe has an impact upon the relationship of order of brachos when you have two different minim might be the interpretation of the Mishnah. But other than that, we know nothing up until this point. So I think, Eyal, you're correct in saying the first thing that emerges from Ula's statement is that we are not makpe. Assuming chos azar and varach azar means the way I say, not the way Chaim thinks, is that there's no kepeda whatsoever in what order you make the brachos. The only machlokis is when you're only making one bracha, which food do you make the bracha on? But if you're making two brachos, we don't care which one you make first and which one you make second. Okay, Jeremy, I'll take the questions. Jeremy?
You have to demonstrate a better read of the story of Bar Kapara than the one that
Gemara
brings, which is an issue
about it. I would venture to say that the Gemara's read of Bar Adif is a little bit Bar Kapara is a little bit tortured. Meaning it's not a read that we necessarily, would have come up on our own. It doesn't even, and I would even say the following: it's not about brachos. The Bavli doesn't say about brachos. One says Peira Adif, one says Chaviv Adif. I could give different reasons. Peira could be because it's the, come with some reason. It doesn't say that bracha is kodem. You remember, even in the Yushalmi, there were two nuschaos, shehakol tfeilalo or shehakol niyebed varo tfeilalo. We spoke about this. In other words, we pointed out that the Bavli is almost an interpretation of shehakol tfeilalo, or it looks like the girs of shehakol niyebed varo tfeilalo. But on our own, we could have just said it has to do with the relationship of the chashivas of foods. You know why? And the Bavli does ultimately say maybe, kruv is Zion.
Then why would Bar Kapara?
Why do you get mad at the guy who made on the thing?
Because
he was a mechutzah. Because he should have waited. Remember, the question is, did he give rishus? And that gets into another layer. Only in the Bavli does the element of nesinus rishus come. In the story in Yushalmi, certainly he got angry at him because he's mechutzah. You should have waited. You're too hungry. You can't suppress your appetite until the Rebbe makes a decision. Right, remember that line is...
Bar Kapara gave Rishus,
I know, okay. So the Nesan Rishus part is a later edition, I don't know when later, into the Bavli. It's not there in the Yushalmi. In the Yushalmi, Bar Kapara gets mad at one because he mocks, and one because he didn't wait.
Well,
that's why it's Kapara.
Here on Mem
Aleph, I don't...
Suppose they weren't looking at that text, or... Whatever.
I don't mean the sugya. I mean, I'm not talking Ula. Ula made his statement before that part of the interpretation was offered, at least as a text. So I don't want to get bogged down in that. I want to accept for the moment that I can put that on the back burner. Okay, the Rishonim are going to come and start to narrow things down based upon that Gemara, and we might say that it's true the Maskanas our sugya. But hold off, okay? Okay, there were a bunch of questions coming in this area. Yehuda?
Just something else that might be obvious, but from the second, you have an apple and a zayin, for example, you have to make two brachot. I mean, you have to make one bracha.
There's only one bracha, yeah.
I'm saying you might think that you have to make two brachot. And in this statement, where if you have two different brachot, you have to make one, then you have to make another bracha. Then you learn from that that you only have one bracha. If you only have one bracha and two species that have the same bracha, you still only make one bracha.
Okay, but I think that is a...
And also, if you have to
break out the mind. No, one second. I think it's clear from the Mishnah. The Mishnah's statement, clearly is assuming, it's stating, you're only making one bracha.
I don't know. I would have thought that you're only making...
There's nothing in the Mishnah that suggests that it's an issue of Kedima. The simple read in the Mishnah is that you're making potentially only one bracha. One would even argue, I mean, understand the potential radical implications of what I've just said, but I think the Gemara accepts that, and some of the Achrona must talk about this. I don't know, something you showed me, the possibility that according to the simple read of the Mishnah, you would make a bracha on the Zayas, and you would pater a banana. You would make her eitz and pater adama, which is strange, but in other words, and
which is not implied by this line, actually, the opposite.
No, clearly, Ula is saying no. Ula is saying that the whole discussion only gets off the ground when you're making... Ula is coming to say that the Mishnah doesn't even entertain that possibility, that the whole discussion is obviously only in a context when Birchoseim Shavas, so you're only making one bracha. But if you had more than one bracha, then you make one, then you make the other.
So just to conclude
the answer to that question, I think it was clear from the start that if you had two fruits there, one who eats potters both. Yeah, okay, next.
Also, if you make a brick, like you said earlier, if you make a brick for Adama, it's not necessarily going to potter a brick for eights. You have to make a bracha specifically on brick for Adama on an apple.
Statement number two, that is sort of a natural outgrowth of what Eyal said. Okay, so I said there were three things that were implied. Sean, did you want to comment before we go on to item number two? Okay, so the second thing, and that emerges sort of from the first observation that Eyal makes, is that, and I think this is essential, is that a bracha of hadama made on a hadama food when her eitz food is present does not exempt her eitz food. As Rashi says, Beruch al peiras ha'aretz, bari pri hadama yotza is only when you're making the bracha on the bari pri eitz food. But if you're making the bracha on something else that's supposed to have hadama, that hadama does not cover her eitz. You know, minastam. Minastam, it doesn't cover that. I mean, if you had kavanah de pater, maybe it would. But minastam, it does not exempt our eitz. Why? Because the Mishnah's din of Beirach al peiras ha'ilan bari pri adama yotza, that means when you make the wrong bracha on this food, so since the bracha does include, since peiras ha'eitz, peiras ha'ilan come from the adama, whatever the hesper is, Rabbi Huda, whatever it is, so therefore, therefore you don't make another bracha. But if you make a bracha on a banana and there's an apple there, of course, the bracha on the banana does not pater the apple. Now, in a certain sense, really what Eyal said is an outgrowth of that, might be an outgrowth of that, and as it might be the reason why we say that you can do whichever one you want first is because you're going to get to make both brachas anyway. Maybe. Okay? But those are two things that I think emerge, two very important distinct points that emerge from the Mishnah. Number one, that there's no Seder Kedima, and number two, that a Hadama on a Hadama does not pater eats food that's with it. Now, that I believe Rabbeinu Yonah's two observations. There is a third, almost obvious, I don't want to say it's tautological, thing that comes out of Ula's statement, of what he says, and it's obvious because he says it, but it's worth noting because of the continuation of the Gemara. What's the third thing? You'll say... I mean, either you'll say, okay, or you'll say, duh. I don't know which one you'll say, which is that Rabbi Yehuda and the Chachamim don't argue. That now, and I don't know which direction, but assume for the moment, I'm going to work for the moment the assumption is that Rabbi Yehuda is modeh in such a case. Now, why is that important? It's important because if you found somewhere Rabbi Yehuda was arguing, was arguing in a case of Ein Berachas Erev Shabbos, will that be a problem for Ula as well? Okay? In other words, Ula's suggestion that the machlokas is only by X but not by Y implies something about how he understands what the nature of Rabbi Yehuda's Shita is. What the nature of the Chacham Rabbi Yehuda's views are. On top of that, it also suggests that there's no argument in certain cases. Obviously, one flows from the other. You'll see why I'm pointing this out. Nadav and then Yoni.
I mean, Yehuda has to be the one who's going to vote it, right?
Maybe.
If the Chachamim wrote it, then it wouldn't be Mevarech HaZeh V'Chol Zeh Mevarech HaZeh.
It would be. Well, maybe Mevarech HaZeh means you make a brach on the Shiva Saminim and V'Chol Zeh Mevarech HaZeh. In other words, maybe the Chachamim are only makbid when you're not going to make the bracha on the thing that you really love, and then you're not really going to give full Shabbat to Ribbono Shalom. But once you're going to make two brachos anyway, that you're going to make the Hadama on these, you know, peas and carrots that just warm the depths of your heart, so then you'll make the bracha on the Shiva Saminim first, because Ribbono Shalom is Meshabeach them in the Torah, and then you'll make that bracha that will make you just, you know, it will give you spiritual elevation. But if you're only going to make one bracha because you love the apple so much, like you much more than you love the grapes, so the Chacham say we don't want to cheat you of that bracha, but it's two separate meaning. So you make on the Shiva Saminim first because you're going to make that beautiful bracha anyway. Obviously, you could say the other way. Rabbi Yehuda, who has a particular attachment to a bracha on the Shiva Saminim, says that I'm only concerned when you're not going to make a bracha on the Shiva Saminim, you know, whatever his reason is, wherever he's attached to the Shiva Saminim. But if you're going to make the bracha anyway, so I don't care which one comes first. Chaim.
From the statement of when Birchatayin are not Shavuot, is there any way we could tell what they would say in terms of, like, if you have a hadama that's from the Shiva, like if your kosa is sachita and then you have a apple in front of you? Yeah, in other words, you have a Shiva.
If your kosa is sachita, you have a Shiva minim
hadama, and you have a non Shiva minim
fruit.
I
think it's simple. Again, depending on which tzad you take. Depending on which tzad of the you take here, chozer mevarech al zeh, v'chozer mevarech al zeh. So depending whether it's Rabbi Yehuda Mota Chacham, let's say it's Rabbi Yehuda Mota Chacham. So everybody would agree that you can make on whichever one you want first, or you have to make on the Chavit first. So you could make on the Tapuach before you make on the before your Kosis is Achita. And if you say everybody's Moda to Rabbi Chacham or Rabbi Yehuda, then you'd say the other way. I think it's clear. If ain't Birchoseim Shavos, Echit Kosis Achita, and a Tapuach. So then, Mevarech HaZeh, V'chose Mevarech HaZeh, and again, whatever that means. Yoni?
We're assuming here that Rabbi Yehuda is Moda to the Chacham, because the reason that the Tosfot says...
Wait, no. Now the next step. Because we haven't expressed... As far as now, we've just described. We haven't explained yet. Now we have... The next question I want to know from you is, okay, what is the Nekuda Samachlokas according to Ula? Okay, so up until now, we have done just definition. We've defined the parameters of what Ula says. We haven't explained why. Okay, so just wait one. And I want to talk about why, and then you, if it's still a question, you can ask the question. Was Eyal?
About what Ula was saying in terms of depending on whether we say Rabbanan or Rabbanan, that would like dictate the way we're.
I know. That's why I said it's so important to realize that part of Ula's statement is this Kulei Alma. Right?
And that will also change what we said.
Okay. All right. Chaim?
Could we just say the basis, could we just apply the Moshe's understanding to Ula's statement?
Okay, hold on. Hold on. So now we're going to go to the next step. What is, now that Ula has established that they're arguing only by Birchosei and Shavos, where you're only going to make one bracha, and Rabbi Yehuda says you must make the bracha on the Min Shiva, and the Chachamim say what? According to Ula, it seems, they say, that you must make the bracha on the Chaviv. What's the other way of saying it?
You can't make the bracha.
Well, no, not that you can make the bracha on the Chaviv, you can make the bracha on whatever you want. Okay, but Ula says you must make the bracha on the Chaviv, according to the Chacham, and according to Rabbi Yehuda, you must make the bracha on the Min Shiva. But if you're making two separate brachos, then do whatever you want. So what exactly is the Nekudas HaMachlokes? Why is that so? And what's the Nekudas HaMachlokes between Rabbi Yehuda and the Chacham? So Chaim wants to throw out the first possibility, which is the position in the Yerushalmi. However, there were two ways we had of understanding the Yerushalmi. Well, let's put it this way. Immediately, there's one aspect of the Yerushalmi that's not going to work in Ula. Namely, Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi's Ukimta cannot be accepted with an Ula. Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi said that the Machlokas is only by Birchosehen, only when Dato Lecho Pas Lacharav. But when Dato Lecho Pas, so then everybody agrees. Now, you cannot say that with an Ula for one very simple reason. Namely, he doesn't say anything about that. You can't plug the Yerushalmi into the Bible. Okay. But now let's extract what was the Svara behind that, and that might be relevant, which is, how did we had two ways of explaining that Shita, right? Within the Pnei Moshe. Okay? One was that if you're not, that the reason why you must make a the reason why Rabbi Yehuda demands that you make a bracha on the Shivas Aminim is because there must be. Seriously, the reason why the Chachamim don't demand, in principle, the Chachamim hold that there must be a heksher, there must be a connection between the bracha Rishona and the bracha Achrona. But in a case where there happens to be no bracha Achrona, so then the Chachamim are not makpid. Now, you can take that kernel. You can take that nugget, and you're actually going to have to reverse the Yerushalmi, reverse the opinions. What is the case Ula's talking about? A case where you're going to have bread afterwards, or a case where you're not going to have bread? Well, you're not going to have bread, because the Pavli doesn't see us to say otherwise. Okay, so what then is the concern? And it's a machlokas. Right? It's a machlokas when birchosei and shavos. In other words, when I have a grape and an apple, Rabbi Yehuda says I must make the bracha on the grape, the Chachamim say, whichever one you want. Now, are you going to make a bracha achrona?
Yes,
you are. And therefore, you can only take the svara of the Yerushalmi, but you have to completely flip it around. And you have to say now that only Rabbi Yehuda is makbid that there be a connection between bracha rishon and bracha achrona, and therefore he insists that there be min shiva. Because if you're only making, you make it on min shiva, because you're only making one bracha, either that's going to dictate what bracha achrona you make, and therefore you won't get to make the main shalosh, or even if you are going to make a main shalosh, you won't have made a bracha rishon and a bracha achrona on the same thing. Okay? The chachamim are not makbid, presumably because the chachamim say they don't care about this connection between bracha rishon and bracha achrona. It doesn't matter that you made the bracha rishon on tapuach, and even though the bracha achrona ikaro is on the grape. Something like that. So that is one possibility. Yes. Okay, that's fine. Grant, Tzarech Levarech Lebsof is only a discussion if you're having a meal after, if you're having pas. I don't want to introduce that here because nowhere in the sugya, starting with Ula, most importantly, does he say anything about pas. So my assumption is that you're going to make a bracha achrona, whatever it is.
Right, but whatever it is, meaning whether you're having pas or not.
Correct, fine. But pas is not, it's not in the picture. Let's not even talk about it. So the only thing you can extract from the Yerushalmi is an idea that maybe could be behind Ula, is the connection between bracha rishona and bracha achrona. Now.
That's only for birchosei and shavot.
What?
That's only for
birchosei
and shavot. If you have
birchas. Okay, but if they don't have the same bracha, so each, you make a bracha rishona on each, and you make a bracha achrona on each. That's all. That's what Chaim is suggesting. That would be one way to explain it. Now, there is a problem with that, though. There's a big problem with saying that. What's the problem with saying that?
Because if you make one bracha achrona, it will cover the other one?
Well, no, okay, no, but you have to allow for the possibility that somehow Rabbi Yehuda and the Chacham argue over that issue. In other words, whether one covers for the other, whether we don't care, and then you can work that out. That is not, there's something inherently a problem with the way Ula presented the Machlokes. Moshe? No, maybe the Chachamim hold, number one, either they hold that you don't make a Shiva Saminim because you didn't make the Bracha Rishonot and who cares, or they hold that you make a Shiva, you make a Main Shalosh anyway, and we don't care that you made the Bracha Rishonot on something else. One of those two Shitas they could hold. Chaim?
There's no mention at all of Bracha Achrona. The only mention
only thing they seem to be concerned with is Bracha
Rishona. Okay, no. I'll grant you they don't mention Bracha Rishona, but the concern... I agree with you, Chaim. You're not wrong in saying that, but it's something more than that. There's something more than that. In other words, Chaim has highlighted well that it means that the whole focus is on Bracha Rishona, not Bracha Rishona, and the Gemara doesn't mention Bracha Rishona. I can say stronger than that, once you make that observation, because you define the Well Eyal.
I would say, in terms of Chavit, why would the other position be...
Yeah! I understand the position if you say, Ezem Eim Sheyirtzeh, whichever you want, we don't care. I don't understand the position that says, Chaviv Adif! You must make it on the Chaviv. What, you must do it and therefore avoid the Bracha Rishona? In other words, if the Chachamim didn't care, then the machlokas isn't A, no, B. The machlokas is A, whatever you want. So then I could more easily tie it to Bracha Achrona. But once they're arguing about Shivas Aminim Adif, no, Chaviv Adif, it's not about Bracha Achrona anymore. It's about Bracha Rishona. Chaim?
Yeah, well, you could just say in response to that the machlokas is what's more important, the Chaviv versus the Bracha
Achrona. So the reason I don't want to say that, you know, we'd like to see the Tanaim in some sense being on the same page. So what you're then reducing the Machlokas to, and this is an important point, I wanted to make this, is to a set of two completely different issues. In other words, you might agree that the Bracha Achrona is important, but I think the Chav is more important. And he'll say, well, I think Chav is important, but I think the Bracha Achrona is. And they're almost talking about two completely different issues. You know, as opposed to focusing on one issue, is this an issue or not? That's what Rabbeinu Tam described earlier as, you know, hakas atzadim, in a different way. In other words, they're not talking to each other. That's why I don't like that approach. Eyal?
I would say it's the same exact issue of Shalom versus Shalom.
Okay, so you're taking a different Yerushalmi now, right? Which, you know, at least Yerushalmi said in another context, which is the Kosman versus Sorim, which I'm more inclined to think is the issue at hand. Or a possibility. Correct, it's Tosefta. That the issue is Bracha Rishona should be on something that's really chashuv, and the question is which is more chashuv? Is it more chashuv here? Is it more chashuv objectively because the Torah is Meshabeach the Shivas Aminim, or is it more chashuv subjectively because it's what you consider most special? That I think is a much more it's a much more appealing option. And this way, it works with an ula who says Shivas Aminim, and the Chav say no Chaviv Adif, and it would work even if you want to say Ezer Sheyirtzeh Yachdim. In other words, the Chachamim believe, who cares, right? Something like that shita about, you know, Rashi, you know, which if you want to make a bracha on the Petitim, that's okay. In other words, we're not so neurotic about this. No, so you could do it either way, but certainly for ula, the way he says Chaviv Adif, it's got to be A. No, it has to be B. It makes much more sense if you're saying what is insignificant to make the Bracha Rishona on. Okay. Now. Let me make the following observation. And this is for something that's going to come later in the Gemara. I don't think we'll get to it today, but you write this, you know, kosvei maluach libecha, at least as long as you're doing the sugya, preferably for life, but this kind of detail I expect you to remember while you're doing the sugya. If the nekudas hamachlokas is either over chaviv versus Shivas Aminim on the Bracha Rishona. In other words, which one? You're only making one Bracha Rishona, you got to make it on the right thing. Or if the Machlokas is on the Bracha Achrona that it's going to drag with it, however you construct that. If I were to tell you, B'she'ein Ber Hoseim Shavos, they would also argue, would either of these reasons make sense? And the answer is obviously no. We've tailored these explanations. We've tailored these explanations in order to accommodate this idea of Birchoseihem Shavos only. Right? By Ein Birchoseihem Shavos, it's not an issue because you're going to make two brachas Rishonos anyway. So who cares? And you're going to make two brachas Achronos anyway. Or the bracha Achronos is going to be connected to the bracha Rishonos. So who cares? Okay? In other words, based upon the reasons we the Gemara has in effect constructed, although it hasn't spelled out until now, whatever the assumption is, so it's clear why they're arguing, and the argument only makes sense in the context of Birchos Sehen Shavos. It doesn't make sense in the context of Ein Birchos Sehen Shavos. Shalom? Correct? Correct. Then, in other words, to explain Ein Birchos Sehen Shavos, what are you going to have to do? You're going to have to take the entire structure we just built up, and you're going to have to tear it down. You're going to have to tear down. In other words, if I come along, if I'm an Amora, happens to be such a fellow, I don't know if we know who it is, but one of them who's going to come along and say the machlokas is also, when it's a machlokas is across the board, your responsibility in learning the Gemara is going to be to tear down the entire building, not start with the building that you have already and then try to see if you can, now that some of the windows have been blown out, see if you can put new windows in. No. This is about a larger methodological point in attacking a sugya. Okay, when you're going to get to Ein Birchos Sehen Shavos Dat Shita, I want you to tear down everything we just said. We said there were three hanachos, three totzos, that are implications of Ula's statement, and there were two possible ways of explaining Ula's statement, which are obviously constructed to explain why there's only a machlokas by Birchos Sehen Shavos. When you get to the next daya, the other man d'amar, later in the sugya, okay, in this composite sugya, you're going to have to tear down the entire structure and start again. If you want to understand, A, what the Amoraim meant, B, what the Rishonim are thinking, because the Rishonim knew how to read Gemara. It's a point that sometimes gets lost for people, but the Rishonim, A, learned Gemara, and B, they knew really how to read a sugya really well. And I say that partially tongue-in-cheek, partially very seriously. A lot of the Shach Levitaria and the Rais you're going to miss, you're just going to be scratching your head if you don't realize what they're doing. So when you get to that second half, tear down everything. Start as if somebody came along and told you the machlokas was across the board. How do you explain things? See, one of the reasons I'm telling you that is because there's a very powerful temptation to somehow leave in place the machlokas by Birchos Sehen Shavos and search for a new reason by Ein Birchos Sehen Shavos. And that could be a fatal trap. In other words, you're going to allow the reasons to stand by Birchos Sehen Shavos and introduce a new chap. Why they argue by Ein Birchos Sehen Shavos, right? Because what we just said is we gave two explanations to explain Ula, who said that they only argue by Birchos Sehen Shavos, but they don't argue, but those reasons aren't applicable by Ein Birchos Sehen Shavos. Don't assume that those two reasons still exist. Cross them off the list, erase them, should be no Roshem, and start again. You have a machlokas according to the second Shita, both by Birchos Sehen Shavos and Birchos Sehen Shavos. It could be that they're two separate explanations, two separate machlokas. It could also be that there's one common explanation for the machlokas. In other words, if you have a broad machlokas between the Chacham and Rabbi Yehuda, what is better, to look for one key that opens both locks or all the locks, or to look for two separate keys? And your first instinct should be to look for one key, because the Mishnah presents it as one machlok. And don't be fooled by the fact that, see, Ula comes up, Ula makes this distinction between two scenarios, so you now in your mind you think the Mishnah is talking about two things. No, the Mishnah, according to the other sheet, is talking about one thing. Any situation. Who says that you should bifurcate, you should split it into two situations? Maybe not. Maybe you have to in the end, but don't automatically assume that. Okay. Now, the next step, what I would like to try to finish, any questions about that? Even if you lose the entire sugya or you forget it tomorrow, remember what I just told you. It's absolutely essential. I would like to now figure out the Meisvei, because the Meisvei, in light of what we've said until now, okay, we've established three implications of Ula's statement and two possible explanations. The Meisvei should presumably serve as some kind of potentially a testing or sounding board. But in addition, assuming that what we said is correct, that the three statements that come out of it, of Ula's statement, and that there are two ways of explaining Ula's statement, but leave that the second part aside. Assuming there are three mashmalios of Ula's statement, what is the Brisa attacking? If you have a Meisvei, it's attacking Ula. Which one or more of his statements or assumptions is it attacking? Okay, now here, I gave out a second sheet because there's something really funny here, and Eschata'ay ani maskir ayom, I'm not as sufficiently baki in Chasuri Mechasra. I mentioned that I think there's a thesis on it, and somebody wrote in Revel. There's also a long section on it in Epstein's Mavalonos HaMishnah, which I've not read. Maybe I'll read soon, but not yet. But that aside, I still have a chush as to how Chasuri Mechasra is used and how not only what it means, but how it's typically employed. And there's something really bizarre going on in the sugya, okay? Which is why I gave you out this little braisa handout, because something funny's happening, which I hope all of you will have noticed. But if none of you noticed, I won't be surprised either, because I didn't notice it until this morning. So let's take a start on the mesave, okay? We have a question. Mesave. So again, let me just take 30 seconds. Ula said three things. Number one, that Rabbi Yehuda and the Chachamim agree. One of them agrees to the other. Let's assume for the moment, although maybe we should revisit this, that Rabbi Yehuda does more than the Chachamim. Number two, that there's no kapeda when you have different brachos in what order you make them. And number three, that when you make a bracha which is more koleles on an appropriate food, it doesn't pater the other foods there. It's only time that you say that Berech HaPeiros HaIlan Bari Paradama Yatza is when you made it on the Peiros HaIlan, not when you made it on a Hadama, and the Peiros HaIlan also happened to be in that Suda. Says the Gemara, Meisuvei. It's not too far in. We haven't looked in the Gemara in a while. Fourth wide line, Yoni. Fourth wide line since the two dots, excuse me. Okay, you can't read my mind. Masonry, how you define of stone? Last word on the line.
Masonry, how you define stone designs? Mark how stone of their designs.
Stop. End of braces. So what does it say? What do you have?
A radish and an olive.
Okay, and a radish.
Drop on radish and olive.
Okay. Now. That statement read on its own, what does that suggest in terms of the three premises that we have laid out? Right now, if we stop and notice, what does the Gemara do? It stops. That's all it quotes initially for the Meisive. Now, does that contradict? So let's talk about these three principles. Yehuda, go ahead. Even though you're not making it on the eats food, you're making it on Hadama food, you're making it on stone, still you pater it. So premise number, I'll call it number three, is being contradicted by the Braisa. Now, what about premise number two, that you can make the brachas, make the brachas in any order you want? Well, that also falls out. In other words, because obviously you can't make the brachas, maybe you could eat it in any order you want, but you can't make the brachas, you can't be saying mevarech al zeh, v'chose mevarech al zeh. Now, there is, of course, one possible way of saying that yesod is not... There's one way of saying that in itself isn't contradicted. Because you can't say... If chozeh alzeh, varech alzeh, v'chozeh varech alzeh means you can make the brachos, eat the foods in any order you like, and it's mevarech and mevarech. By the tznon, you're not mevarech v'chozeh mevarech. You're mevarech v'chozeh v'ochel, but you're not mevarech v'chozeh mevarech. Yes, but when Ula formulates the statement mevarech al zeh v'chosen mevarech al zeh, since you're allowed to eat it, if that means in either order, it also means mevarech in either order. But the way you're saying is that you can eat it in either order, but you're only mevarech on both if you make the right bracha first. If you might eat the right food first.
Oh, maybe
Ula's
saying that you should make a bracha on whatever thing that would enable you to make another bracha after.
Ah, but then already you're saying that Rabbi Yehuda, the Chacham Amodah to Rabbi Yehuda. So that's a possibility, but the statement is so ambiguous that it's hard to believe that that's what he's saying. But you're right. That Hanacha would not be contradicted, but we wouldn't have made that. In other words, it would have been no such Chiddush, right? In other words, it is possible. Let me present this. Wormuth's not here, but from a logical perspective, one could say, you know, following the rules of logic, so if you say that you're able to make a bracha on one and then a bracha on the other in either order, that implies that even if you make hadama on hadama foods, you don't pater eitzes, because otherwise you could make another bracha. But if you say you sowed three first, that if you made hadama, hadama on one, it doesn't pater the ha'etz, that doesn't mean that you're allowed to make the hadama first. Okay? So in other words, if you understood chozen varech hazeh means you're supposed to make on the ha'etz first like Rabbi Yehuda, that wouldn't give you any implication. Ooh, that's evil. You just realized something. This is proof. Hold on. That would not tell you at all. That would not tell you at all what would happen if you made what would the din be l'chatchila? You do know it doesn't pater, but l'chatchila maybe you should still make ta'itz first, like the Bahag ultimately says. So this is very important. Why is this important? Maybe I did realize this. Maybe you're not the only one, okay? Because I'm speaking obviously very clearly in linear thinking. Yehuda made the following. So again, let's go back to the first thing that we said. Everybody realized immediately that you see from this, let's call it, let's take our three hanachas. The Yehuda is mode the Chacham or Chacham or the Yehuda, one of them. Number two, that you can eat the foods in any order you like and make brachos on them. And presumably it doesn't matter what order you eat them, you can make all the brachos. And number three is that when you make ha'adama on ha'adama foods, doesn't pater eight foods that are present. Everybody realized immediately it was a rejection of number three. Okay? Now, it also seems to be a rejection of number two, because it's not true that you can eat the foods in any order and make brachos on them. Maybe you'd be allowed to eat them in any order, but you might lose the bracha if you made ha'adama first. Okay. Yehuda comes along and says the following. Now, this is essential. Now, one more thing. Does it reject the first issue that the Chacham Rabbi Yehuda agree? At this point, no. Because Rabbi Yehuda man dechar shmei. No one said anything about Rabbi Yehuda yet. Okay. Yehuda says the following, though. He says, maybe we should go back and read the statement of Ulla completely differently. Obviously, somebody's moded to somebody, and we're going to say the somebody is the Chacham moded Rabbi Yehuda. And what does it mean, mevarech al zeh v'chozeh mevarech al zeh? It means that you make a bracha on the Shivas Amenim first, which presumably means what? Ha'eit. I mean, just minastam, you're talking about fruits. It's very rare that you make ha'adam on Shivas Amenim. Kosi sachita, okay. But minastam, when he says, Choza, and the Yehuda says you make the bracha on the Min Shiva first, presumably he means ha'eit. And then Choza Mervarech Hazem means you make ha'adam. Now, the assumption of Rabbi Yehuda, the assumption then in that statement is that you must make on the Shivas Aminim first, but what does it tell you, and that, but what does it tell you about the two Yesodas that we laid out? It's possible, but you don't know. But you don't know what would happen if you made Adama first. Would you potathate? We don't know, number one. Number two, we don't know about a general kapeda of Ha'etz over Hadama. We just know about specifically Shivas Aminim. Okay, now, the Gemara asks Sakasha, Mesivei, how you the fun of Tznon Vazayas, Mevarach Tznon Upoter Asazayas. Does that contradict anything, any of the three Yesodos that Ulla laid out? Absolutely, positively not.
Tznon is not Shiva Aminim. You're making some Abracha on Tznon that's not Shiva Aminim.
Yes, it does. I take that. No. Oh, yeah, I take that back. Yes, it does. I take it back. You're right, it does. It gets you on that one. Scratch it. Okay. You got to erase that from the record. Right, it does. Correct. I want to point out that means... You could read it... You could read it equally that way. You could. It just means it's contradicting a different yesod. Fine. Correct. Fine. Right. So it means two ways of reading the Mesevei. Either the Mesevei is that...
The question is whether you're having Chachamim voted or Ulla.
Chachamim. Right. And it could still... You're going to affect the way you read the Mesevei. Agreed. Again, it doesn't force you in one direction. Fine. Accept it. Fine.
Yeah, but still you have the issue of Divrei HaKolim Mevarech Al Zeh V'Chozer Mevarech Al Zeh. I mean, how can you have Koter Et Hazayit?
No. If you read that it's everybody agrees like Rabbi Yehuda, Mevarech al Zeh means you make a bracha on the Tznon, and you make a bracha on the Shivas Aminim, and then you make a bracha on the Hadama. But all the Brice is saying is that if the Brice number one disagrees with that principle, because somebody says that you make a bracha on the Tznon. The fact that it paters the Zayis doesn't contradict what Ulla said, because Ulla might say that everybody agrees to Rabbi Yehuda that you're supposed to make a bracha on the Min Shiva first. In fact, you know how I could explain that? That could be because if you make a bracha on the Hadama first, you're not going to get to make the bracha on Ha'et. You're going to lose a bracha in the process. That's why the Chachamim agree. So the Brice would, in fact, confirm that. It confirms that part, that when you make the bracha on the Adama, you pat that there are eight food.
I mean, so what's the point of the statement then?
What do you mean, what's the point? The point of the statement is that everybody agrees you're supposed to make a bracha on the min shiva and then make a bracha on the other one. That's the we don't want to read it that way because that's not pshat in the statement, but that's a possibility that you raised and that Yehuda is now pushing here. Nadav?
That's not really precise. Really what it's saying is everyone agrees you have to make two brachos. It's the third option. It's not Yehuda or the Chacham. Everyone agrees you have to make two brachos. And you kind of lumped it in with
I agree, I say that everybody agrees. I would say, no, but look, the pshat in the statement is everybody agrees that you can make a bracha on either, you can eat whichever one you want first, and you can make two brachos. That's B and C of our original...
But if you want to say that you have to make two brachos, then it's not just that they're being motivated to Rabbi Yehuda, if they're saying...
Well, of course you have to make two brachos, because if one doesn't pata the other, you have to make two brachos.
Right. So the assumption is that Hadamah would pata ha'eitz, and...
No, if it's Rabbi Yehuda motivated the Chachamim, the assumption is it doesn't pata ha'eitz. It doesn't pata ha'eitz, and it doesn't matter what order you eat it in. If that means whichever one you want to do first.
I'm not saying it means that. I'm saying it means.
If it means Dafka Shiva Saminim first.
Two brachot. Not Shiva Saminim first. Ha'etz first. Ha'etz first. Mavarech, Vechozer, Mavarech. Ha'etz first. Not Shiva Saminim first. Ha'etz first.
Why would you say that? Nobody was talking about the. No one in the Mishnah was speaking about ha'etz versus another bracha. They were talking about Shiva Saminim versus other foods.
Yes, but
and whether it's the same.
If Shiva Saminim first, you can still have only one bracha.
No, I agree, but that's why I said from Ula, the way we originally read it, the Chacham Amod La Rabbi Yehuda, you see two things. You see that there's no kapeid on the order, and you see that no matter what order you do it in, you have to make two brachas.
I'm saying if you read the new,
the Rabbi Yehuda way. It's an open question.
It's not a Rabbi Yehuda way, is what I'm saying. It's not a Rabbi Yehuda way because there's another way to read.
And so you could say the other way of reading. No. If you say it the other way, Akol Modim that Min Shiva is Adif. Now you could say that either because and again you could explain the chachamim. You could either the way we explained it is simply at that point, since you're going to make a bracha on the chaviv anyway, the chachamim might not be concerned that now you should already give a nod to God, right? If it's shivas aminim, you're suggesting a different way, which is maybe everybody agrees for a reason that nobody's been talking about until now, namely that you're going to lose a bracha if you do it the wrong way. I know you could say that. Nowhere has that ever been clearly articulated, right? I mean, yes, it's ironic the way you present it that way because it's lafuka exactly what everybody else takes Ula to be saying. That Ula's whole chiddush is that Hadama on doesn't pater eitz when you don't make it on the ha'eitz. Okay. Okay. I would have liked to finish chasur mechasur, but I'm not going to push it because it's going to take many more minutes to do. So please, I implore you for tomorrow. Please go over very carefully. This might even be a time to listen to Shir again, or if somebody is taking, whoever takes very, really good notes, Ben, and to really go over very carefully so you're ready to take sort of the next step. Okay? Because before we even touch the Rishonim, I want to make sure we've done the Gemara very carefully. Okay? Okay. Any questions? Okay. Fine.